Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And Sim, it was a pretty interesting weekend as far as Purdue athletics. A pretty eventful weekend. And we'll start on the gridiron. It was probably an outcome that most Purdue fans expected. I don't think a lot of fans were going in with super high expectations into East Lansing on Friday night. But at the end of the day, it was a 24-17 loss. But I think there are some things to kind of hang your hat on. And I know like we're way past kind of any moral victories or anything like that. Like there's only one more game left in the season. But I do just want to highlight, like, I think it speaks a lot, not only to this team, but for the coaching staff as well. This team was down 24-3 at halftime and could have very easily just kind of folded it in and gave up. But they did not do that at all. In fact, they came out and played their tails off in the second half, scored 14 unanswered points, and outside of a couple miscues, was there, had a chance right there at the end to try to win the game.
I think that's a great point. I think I've heard over the last few weeks, I've heard people act like, making accusations rather that maybe Walters has lost the locker room, stuff like that. And based on the effort that you saw, especially in that second half, I mean, the defense, I believe they pitched a shutout in the second half. So obviously, clearly, there were some adjustments that were made on the defensive side of the ball and guys kind of really keyed in and, offensively, like you pointed out, like, it very much so seemed like this team was fighting, and you could see just even from the plays that didn't happen. I think we all think about there's a handful of plays that if Purdue makes, it's at least tied, or maybe Purdue's even in the they're even in the situation of, I mean, even in position to win. But I think I remember specifically after Jamal Green's drop, and I think it was I forget who it was actually I don't forget who it was, but someone came up to him on the sideline. Another player came up on the sideline. I think it might have been Dixon Neal, comes up to him and like hugged him and was basically like, "Yo, like keep your head in it," type stuff. And to me, that's not necessarily the that's not necessarily what you see out of a I think out of a team if they aren't still like playing for themselves, playing for each other, playing for playing for the school, playing for obviously like for us as fans or whatnot. Yeah, so it was just unfortunate, man. Like that was very much so. I think they were talking about during the broadcast that Walters and a few others they interviewed, they kind of looked at this game as like, no, this is a winnable game for us, if we play the right way. And of course you don't ever want to put yourself in a situation where you're down that much at half and having to really dig yourself out of a hole. But nonetheless, man, they had the ball several times with an opportunity to go down and score to tie the game, or obviously if they went for two, they even take the lead. And I don't think anybody probably thought that at the end of the first half. I think we were all kind of like, all right, well, cool. Like you're probably thinking I can either go to bed early and get ready for the basketball game on Saturday, or I can just kind of carry on with my plans. And then of course they, they kind of drag us back in terms of from a viewer standpoint. So yeah, it's unfortunate. And it's kind of been the tale of the season is that even like the games where we've had a shot, we just haven't been able to make the play or plays necessary to kind of complete the comeback or just to kind of close the deal. Like I'm thinking about the Illinois game and that final drive in regulation. If you're able to make a stop there, you're able to get the win. It's unfortunate, but yeah, I think it's just a nod to the fact that Walters and the players, they're still very much so trying to win games. I think something, and I apologize for ranting, but something I think that gets lost by a lot of people is just like the amount of commitment that like the players and the coaches have, but especially the players, because you got to remember like they're going to school as well. So like they have to take early classes so that way they can make sure that they're they're at training tables or what, film study, obviously like practice itself. And I don't like as much as we might be frustrated as to how they've performed this year and what their win loss record is. I think it probably bothers it. I would assume it bothers the players probably 10 times more than it does us, because they're the ones who've been going and putting in the work and trying to trying to turn this thing around, knowing that, you know, each game has been an opportunity of like, okay, look, we can kind of stop the bleeding now. We can stop the this kind of free fall we're on now. So yeah, I was actually it was really nice to see the way that they responded in that second half, and really just trying to continue to fight, continue to try to close the gap and try to steal one on the road. And yeah, just like you said, there's one more game left, so hopefully we see that same effort really just for four quarters. I don't think anyone has like high hopes in terms of what can possibly be done against IU, but I think if you see that type of effort that you saw in the second half with maybe a little bit more detail, it can definitely be a closer game, a more competitive game, and I think that's kind of what we all would like to see.
Yeah, I would agree. And it was just announced that that game will be Saturday under the lights, a 7 p.m. kickoff in Bloomington, I believe on FS1. One more shot at it. You can kind of, I don't think you need any extra motivation when you're going up against your rival like IU, but you got a chance to maybe knock them out of the playoff. I
You
think
have
they'll be amped up for it. I'm not gonna, sit here and say that they're gonna pull off any type of upset, but if you can't get up for this game, you probably shouldn't be strapping them on. So, it'll be interesting. And then it'll mercifully all come to an end after this, and kind of reevaluate and kind of hit the reset button on what's been a really long year. But yeah, just want to make sure that we like highlighted that, and we're not going to go into too much more detail about the game, but I just want to make sure that it wasn't lost, that like this team has not quit and continued to play their tails off. So obviously we wanted a better outcome on Friday, but I think a lot of Purdue fans were proud with the way that the team came out there. So just wanted to give a quick shout out there.
Yeah. Well,
But
one
let's
thing,
switch gear. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
no, one thing I was gonna say is just one, if Purdue were to mess around and win next week, they'd probably be the most storied 2-10 football team to ever be. Man, I forgot what I was gonna say after that. but no, I just
Got
I
too
like it.
excited.
Yeah, I genuinely. No, I've told people some of the IU people I know that they're supposed to win, but if they don't, stay away from me because it's gonna be bad, man. It's gonna be bad. It'll be a long winter. But yeah, I mean, you hope for the best on Saturday, but obviously, like you said, just it'll be nice to be kind of on the other side of this because football has become such a sensitive topic, I think, within the entire Purdue fan base. It'd be nice to just kind of not have it around, so that way they can kind of, like you said, they can almost reassess and without as much spotlight on them, and then hopefully be able to make some decisions and just you can just immediately turn the page to next year, because I think everyone kind of wants to forget about this. So yeah.
Yep, I would agree with that. Let's turn the page to basketball. When we talked last, the Boilermakers were coming off a disappointing loss at Marquette. And I think I kind of even hinted on the podcast, like I would not want to be this Marshall team coming into Mackey. And if you were able to watch the game at all, which let's all just be glad that there's no more games on Big Ten Network Plus, because it sucks. But anyways, if you were able to watch the game, it was exactly what you wanted to see as far as a bounce back effort from the Boilermakers. They led from start to finish. It was never really too close where you ever got worried. It was a very workmanlike performance, and we'll touch on kind of some of the changes and stuff that were made specifically with the starting lineup, but just from like a game, in general, it was nice just to kind of see them come out to take care of business, but more importantly, to take care of the basketball as well.
Yeah, like you said, it was going to be, I think we talked about this after the Marquette game about how, like, yeah, we didn't like wouldn't want to be Marshall, and it was going to be interesting. interesting to see the way that this team responded now that they'd run into their first bit of adversity, coming back from a loss. And just to see the way they came out and really kind of left no doubt. I mean, they're up 15 at half, and then they outscore Marshall by 20 in the second half. So it was like you said, it was never in doubt based on the box score. They said the biggest lead Marshall had was 0 points at 20 minutes in the first quarter. So you do the math on that. You can see that it was controlled rather thoroughly by Purdue, and that's what you want to see against an opponent like that. So interesting thing to me that stuck out was the fact that and I mean, I apologize if I'm taking this from you, Ben, but like the interesting fact to me was that Fletcher and Braden went a combined 1 of 7 and combined for 6 points. And you won by 35. So it's just nice to see other guys contribute. I think obviously we had like, I think everyone noticed the change in the starting lineup. But for those two guys to combine for 1 of 7, 6 points, I think even for most non-con games, you'd probably be a little bit worried about, hey, how did this game play out? But won by 35, and it seemed like they won rather comfortably. So that's good. That's good. Leading in, especially like kind of get that winning feeling back before you face a little bit steeper to competition this week.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the starting lineup switch because I think that's what caught everybody's eye. I don't think a lot of people were expecting a switch. And, I mean, what was it last year? I think we had the same starting lineup the entire year. So it's not anything that Paint takes lightly when he does make changes like this. But if you kind of have listened to us talk early, I think we've been pretty vocal about how we've really liked the lineup that was ran out there, the starting lineup where you have TKR at the 5, Cam at the 4, Miles at the 3, and then Braden and Fletch as your two guards. And they came a lot of credit to Miles and Cam too, who both came out firing as starters. You always kind of wonder, like, if a guy gets a starting role, how is he going to embrace that? And both Miles and Cam did it. I think Miles scored 7 quick points, and Cam had 13. He finished with 13. I want to say they all were in the first half, but don't quote me on that. But 3 of 3 from three also. So, they came out and really set the tone early, which is exactly what you want to do if you're going to insert those two into the starting lineup.
Absolutely, man. I think if you told us at the end of last year who you think your projected five would be, I think this the five that you saw tonight was probably what you thought. Especially because, as we all saw last year, Miles didn't get a lot of playing time until the tournament came around, and then all of a sudden, he's starting to get considerable minutes, being one of the first, probably what the one of three guys essentially who was coming off the bench, and because of how he's improved defensively. Figure that probably like earned more trust with Painter, and obviously everyone knows what his capabilities are offensively, how he can get hot from the field, and then Cam last year definitely came along and showed us a lot just in terms of being able to play defense, and then offensively, obviously being able to shoot from outside. To on Saturday he went 3 of 3 from deep. So this starting five, it seems as though it has the highest ceiling offensively and even defensively. I mean, you can between really for all five positions, you could probably switch depending on obviously the size of like the opposing roster. But you can do a lot of switching within this lineup, and I think just man to man, it probably is best suited in terms of being able to just make sure you have that, yeah, that just like good perimeter defense. Cause I think we've seen, especially in the Marquette game, where you get broken down on the perimeter. And then, it was kind of a free for all because then you have to have help defense, now you have to rotate back and whatnot. But like this lineup seems like it gives you a lot offensively, but also defensively as well. Seems as though you're able to defend each position, and thus you don't find yourself as much as I think Panner was saying, like getting the ball being getting behind you. I think it kind of reduces those the odds of that. So and like you said, it was nice to see Cam come out, excuse me, to see Miles come out and get going, and then Cam as well. They combined for 26 and 5. So yeah, man, it's just It was good. I was kind of surprised by the lineup change myself. Like I said, I kind of figured at some point we would see this lineup. I just didn't think, right after the Marquette game, I didn't think that would be, I didn't think it would be so soon, I guess. I just kind of figured they'd probably still ride out some type of experimenting really through the rest of the year, maybe until they got up to those first couple Big Ten games of the year. But yeah.
Yeah, and one thing too, I also wanted to highlight is, kind of the reverse of that. Like everybody wants to talk about Miles and Cam and like how they came out and played well, but you kind of sometimes worry too is like those guys got to replace dudes in the lineup. And how did like how is Ja'Kari gonna take now to not being in the starting lineup? And you always kind of wonder, if that's how guys are going to take that. And to his credit, I think he came out and played really well. I think he still played like 25 minutes in the game. So like total game. And that's one thing Payne always talks about too, is like, it's not who starts the game, it's who
Who
finishes the
finishes?
game. But I think, he came out, he didn't hang his head at all, and came out and played well too. So, credit to him as well, because that's one thing that you always want to keep an eye on, is like how do those guys respond who essentially are not in the starting lineup anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I think we always think about what is it like for a guy to come off the bench when he has less minutes, and so he has to be more effective in less minutes. But like you said, like when you go from being a starter where you kind of have an opportunity to work yourself into a rhythm because of like you're there to get to kind of get adjusted to how the flow of the game is, to go from starting to then being on the bench, especially so young, you definitely worry about like, hey, how is it, how are they going to respond to that? But it definitely seems like you said, in terms of playing time, Ja'Kari still got 25 minutes, CJ still got 17 himself. So yeah, it was nice to see that even with Ja'Kari going to the bench, he still got a lot of playing time, which means that obviously, clearly Painter still sees a lot of good that both he and even the guy like CJ they can still do. And you're just hoping that with this continued playing time that they're little by little just kind of figuring out the speed of the college game, understanding more how to read and react and whatnot. Because again, I do think that those guys are all going to be important to what Purdue's able to do going forward. You can't just rely on your starting five or, you're just essentially the guys who've been around. You're going to need these new guys to contribute as well. I mean, even Riley Burgess seemed like he had a pretty good game as well. Played just under 13 minutes, but he has 6 points and five boards. Even was 2 for 4 from the field, hit a three. So, you need these young guys to be able to come along as well. So it was nice to see that, even though essentially all of them are coming off the bench now.
And this was kind of like a perfect game for both him and Caleb to kind of, I wouldn't say bounce back because I don't think that they've played poorly, but it was nice to see them kind of have sustained success out there for both those guys. And this was a game where the opportunity was there for them to kind of come out and take advantage of their size and skill against a, I'll call it an inferior opponent. And that's exactly what they did. So, like you said, it was good to see them kind of bounce back like that. I did want to highlight too, another just really good game from Trey, man. Like, it just seems like every day he's getting 18 points. And he got 18 on 12 shots, 7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from the line. He did only pull down 3 rebounds, which is, always going to be a thing that we're always going to watch with him. But just another kind of just, he shows up and gets 18 points. I got a feeling that's kind of how it's going to be like this year is like, that's just going to be Trey's stat line.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, we hope he has more rebounds. And I mean, I'm sure he'd be the first person to acknowledge the fact that he needs to, because going forward, he said it was a couple games ago. I guess after the Alabama game, was talking about how, no, excuse me, not the Alabama game. It was, what was it, Yale before them? And he was talking about how, he's been advocating to play at the five. And he's like, yeah, but to play at the five, I have to rebound more. So, a game like tonight, you only have three rebounds. That obviously doesn't help your cause. So going forward, yes, you just want to see like consistency on the boards from him. But yeah, I'm in the same camp as you. I feel like he's going to constantly find himself in that mid to upper teens kind of night in and night out. He shot 4-7 from the free throw line, which, it's not great, but it's not terrible. But yeah, man, it just kind of seemed like he's, you can almost, yeah, like I said, you can just chalk him up for that. And 18 on 12 shots, yeah, it's pretty solid. I mean, plus minus 16, he only played 23 minutes too. So you'd like to you think in games where against stiffer competition, I think that's probably where you'd see him, obviously with more playing time. And if he's being that efficient in terms of 18 on 12 shots, but he's only in 23 minutes, you like to think that if he's playing another five, maybe 10 minutes, that you're probably going to get another probably 10 points and a handful more rebounds. And then we're talking about a possible 30-10 game. So yeah, shout out to Trey.
Yep. He just keeps kind of doing his thing. And speaking of a guy kind of still doing his thing, I know we talked a little bit about, Brayden not really scoring, but did just want to make sure that we highlighted with Brayden's 9 assists. He now has over 500 career assists. So just want to give him like a shout out there. He is the third fastest in Big Ten history to do that behind Mateen Cleaves and Bruce Parkinson. So, just wanted to kind of give him some flowers there because he's had an up and down kind of year, I would say, so far, especially like from a shooting standpoint. But one thing that he has done from jump in every game this year is come out to make sure to get other guys involved. And he has really just done a fantastic job kind of running the point and getting those assists specifically, and kind of generating that offense for us.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, he's just every game he's come out. I need to go back and look and probably see like what his box totals are for each game in terms of assists. But he's very much so been. I mean, he's very much so understood that, like, yeah, like while he's one of the leaders on the team about understanding, like, while he could go get his own shot, being able to get other guys set up and get them going. I think he understands the value of that, not just within a game, but also in the bigger picture. You start getting guys like Cam and Miles, Jakari, CJ, if those guys are able to start knocking down some shots off of good looks that I mean off of looks that you're getting for them, that bodes well for their confidence going forward. And if you have more guys who are playing confidently on the offensive end, one, I think it leads over to the defensive end, but also just in terms of what your ceiling is as a team, that increases. So yeah, even though he went scoreless, to have 9 assists and just, yeah, like you said, reaching that 500 career assist mark, that's just kind of indicative of how Brayden's been in his time here. While he's been the quintessential point guard, as Painter said, a big part of that is the way he's been able to get other guys involved.
Very well said. So looking ahead now, it's kind of the schedule's getting all gonna get a whole lot tougher. Not that it wasn't, tough early on, but now they will head out. I'm not sure when they head out. I don't think they've left yet, but I'm assuming they'll probably head out maybe tomorrow, Monday. They'll head out to San Diego and play 2 games in the Ratty Children's Invitational. So that'll start it on Thursday at 3 p.m. So make sure you have your Thanksgiving meal either early or late, and can sit down, relax, and watch the Boilers take on NC State at 3 p.m. on Thursday. That'll be on FS1. They then will either play BYU or Ole Miss on Friday. And then they'll start, how they'll play 2 Big Ten games, how everybody now plays 2 in December. So they'll play at Penn State and then home against Maryland. And then they'll take on 2 SEC opponents on neutral courts. So they'll take on Texas A&M and Indianapolis. And then they'll go to Birmingham, right before Christmas and take on Auburn. So a lot of kind of interesting games. You're getting some high quality opponents in the SEC, You're getting a couple, real good teams out west, and of course, everybody's going to be talking about the Final Four rematch against NC State. And then you get a couple of Big Ten games sprinkled in there too, which are two that you really, you want them kind of get off to a good start there too. So six kind of very interesting games here coming up on the schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I think by the time we get out of these, like this probably 6-game stretch, I think you'll have a good idea of what the strength and weaknesses are of Purdue, are for the year. Because I feel like they're just all going to test you. They're all going to. I would be surprised if, granted, I haven't done my research on hell, most of these teams outside of like knowing Auburn's a juggernaut, and well, Texas A&M has been streaking ever since they lost their first game, but. With these other, well, with these first four, like you said, North Carolina State, and then possibly BYU or Ole Miss, and then those first two first two Big Ten games, and obviously once you get in the conference, those games are never easy, especially like playing in College Park at Penn State. Like that'll for sure be challenging. But yeah, you're definitely like there's definitely could be some lumps that this Purdue team takes over the next couple weeks. Again, still not gonna for me, it's not gonna be really be a reason for panic. Like let's just say over those next like 6 games, they go like 4-2. I'm still not gonna I'm not gonna panic necessarily, but I'm very intrigued to see how they fare against this because yeah, I feel like every team that we've played to this year has been a good test for us in terms of just like our abilities in terms of like being like in terms of like do we have enough scoring? Do you have enough playmaking? Do you like are you able to rebound enough? Can you defend? And I feel like every game to this point, even with these next six, they're gonna be the same thing. It's just like it's gonna be, I think it'll be the little things that the attention to detail. And if you're able to see that, whether it's at Mackey or it's at a neutral court or like out in San Diego, I mean, excuse me, or on the road, like truly, you're gonna see how this team is growing, how it's developing together, and how they're kind of trying to figure things out. So it's definitely gonna be a stressful couple of weeks. So make sure you have several 4-packs of that Play Hard Lager by your side.
It will definitely be needed. But yeah, so that I know you kind of say like you're not gonna panic or anything like that, but just looking at kind of this 6-game stretch, I think probably, obviously everybody wants us to go 6-0, and if they want to do that, then by all means knock that out. But I know you said you wouldn't worry if they were 4-2, and I guess it's kind of all relative to like who are those two losses to, and you can go down that rabbit hole. But I think just looking big picture, I think you almost 3-3, I would start getting kind of worried. So I think 4-2 at minimum, and I think at the end of the day, you want those two Big Ten wins more than kind of any of the other ones, just because of kind of making sure to get off on that start.
Absolutely. Because in the big at the in the big picture of it, you take your lumps in the non-conference, that's fine. But obviously when we get into conference play, that will really that determines a lot going forward, just in terms of you kind of make do within your conference season. So yeah, I mean obviously you want like I was saying, like ideally you'd like to go no worse than 4-2, 5-1, like you said, 6-0 if they want to win all of them, definitely I like zero objections here. But yeah, you definitely if you're gonna go like 4-2, that like bare minimum, you definitely want those two, the Penn State and the Maryland, you definitely want those two Big Ten games. But yeah, then when I say that, I'm like, well, that means you have to lose one of the Texas A&M or Auburn, and I don't want that. So, well, here I am now, five and one,
So
maybe.
let's just run the table then. It's been decided.
Yeah, it's fine by me.
But it'll be interesting what happens. Like I said, it'll all get started Thursday at 3 p.m. NC State on FS1. So be sure to check that out. And then let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the volleyball team. Last we spoke, we talked about how they had a couple pretty big matchups against some ranked teams. And, it seems kind of, we talked about this off air, but this team really seems to be almost like a feast or famine type team where, Either they get swept or they do the sweeping, and that's exactly what happened. They went out to Penn State, got swept in three sets, but then they bounced right back on senior night, took on 21 ranked USC, and they swept them in three sets. So, it was really good to see the bounce back. Obviously, you would have liked to see kind of a bigger, at least maybe taking one or two sets at Penn State. But for the ladies to bounce right back and sweep USC was pretty impressive.
Yeah, just like you. Yeah, I agree. I mean, just like you said, would have been nice at Penn State to maybe get maybe a set, maybe two, especially because Penn State came into West Lafayette earlier this year and then and swept them. So obviously that doesn't. It's not great that you weren't able to get one off of them. But like you said, USC was no slouch, and they swept them, but they were competitive sets. So it was nice to see the ladies bounce back like that on senior day. Now that they gotta go out west for two what should be challenge matches, especially the one at Oregon. And you just hope that obviously they're able to get both of those out there, and then we turn eyes towards the tournament.
Yeah, it'll be kind of very interesting. So, like you said, they will head out there. They will take on Oregon on Wednesday evening at 10:30. They'll spend Thanksgiving in Seattle, Washington, and then head on to take the Huskies on Friday evening, I believe. It is a 7 p.m. start on Friday, and both those matches will be on Big Ten Network. A chance, like we've kind of talked about, those are two kind of more resume building wins as well. And you kind of just, it seems like every time the ladies kind of get beat, they bounce back and go on like a little bit of a run and, run three or four off in a row. So it'd be nice to kind of end the season like that as well. I don't think we would be opposed to seeing them go 2-0 out west.
Not at all.
So good luck to the ladies as they head out there. And again, both those matches are going to be on Big Ten Network. So if you can, be sure to ch check those out. You have Purdue and Oregon, which will be a top 11 matchup. So be a really good game there, and a really just another good test for the ladies there. So good luck to them as they head out west. And then we will wrap everything up here. Speaking of the ladies, the women's basketball team had a nice a bounce back win just earlier this evening. If you're listening on Sunday the 24th, they it was a win where you kind of just want to see them kind of stack some wins and build some confidence here at Mackey against UT Arlington. And they did exactly what you wanted to see them do. They won 73 55. It wasn't the prettiest of offensive nights. But like we said, these are just the games where you just want to stack some wins.
Yeah, man, you definitely just right now it's more important about winning. I think something that we're probably noticing about this ladies team is that they're gonna have to kind of muck it up. They're probably gonna win some games rather ugly. The shooting numbers are not gonna be aesthetically pleasing, but I think that to me just kind of calls more to the fact of in terms of like their defense and their rebounding, like. That's going to have to be the stuff that they probably lean on, being able to force teams to turn the ball over. I think that they forced 16 turnovers today. They were able to get what 23 points off those turnovers. So I kind of feel like that's the way that this Purdue women's team is starting to lean towards is just, hey, look, we're going to have to muck this up. We have to defend hard and we have to rebound. And from that, obviously if you get hot offensively, that's great. But that it might there might be more times than not where it's maybe a rough shooting night for the ladies, but if their defense is there and obviously the rebounding, I think they'll be in more games than the more games than not. And I feel like in college especially Sometimes you just need to be there late, and then you can a couple bounces go your way, and you're able to kind of steal some wins that you're not that maybe you weren't expected to get. So, but like you said, just nice to see the ladies bounce back as they have really since that Notre Dame game. They've been able to get some wins together, even though they haven't been like the prettiest. A win's a win. So.
Yep, and much like the men's team, they will head out for a holiday tournament as well. They will head to Fort Myers, Florida for the Elevance Health Women's Fort Myers tip-off, which will start for the Lady Boilers on Thanksgiving as well. They will take on MTSU, Middle Tennessee State, at 4:30, and then it'll get really real for them as they will take on South Carolina, who is ranked number one right now, but it'll probably drop after they just got beat by UCLA. But another kind of, I mean, it doesn't get much
Doesn't get
better
easy.
than South
Yeah.
Carolina to try to see where you stack up.
Right. And especially because South Carolina now is probably going to be trying to erase the taste of that loss today at UCLA. So, yeah, I mean, like they get one more quote unquote easy game, and then all of a sudden, yeah, the competition will get much stiffer. So, good luck to the ladies. And like I said, just it might be ugly, but that might be the brand of the Purdue women's basketball team this year.
Yeah, so it'll be real interesting to see how they stack up there. But like you say, good luck to the ladies as they head down to Florida for their holiday tournament as well. And that'll just do it for us here. Once again, we want to thank everybody for their continued support, for listening, for giving us reviews, spreading the word. Really appreciate all the love and support that we've gotten. And also just want to make sure, kind of wish everybody, make sure they have a safe and happy holiday. There'll be lots of Boilermaker athletics to watch throughout this long holiday weekend. So make sure you might want to have a couple adult beverages. Make sure your bellies are stuffed and enjoy some Boilermaker sports there this weekend because they will be aplenty and hopefully they won't let us down.
Yeah, elastic waistbands are your friends this week, folks.
On that note, I want to thank everybody again for listening and boiler up.
Yes, sir.